Now as Ever, a Teen Wolf fan fiction by Venus Envy, Chapter 7. Friday afternoon, Derek, Stiles, and Laura bake heart-shaped sugar cookies for Valentine's Day. Derek isn't allowed to set the timer, but they let him roll out the dough and help them cut the shapes. They layer the parchment paper all over the kitchen table and lay out sprinkles and tiny candles and multiple colors of frosting that Cora helped Stiles to mix up with the food coloring from the craft box. And then the kids decorate their cookies to give out to their loved ones. Cora gives her first one to Stiles, and he notices with amusement that her fingernails are painted purple, sloppily, but adorable nonetheless. One of the twins has iced his own hair pink and is giggling as his brother adds rainbow sprinkles to the mess on top of his head. Derek gives them a few more minutes of mess-making and giggle fits before he scoops them both up and takes them upstairs for a bath. "You kids are having too much fun in here." Mrs. Hale comes into the room wearing her usual smile, eyes widening as she takes in the state of her kitchen. "We'll clean it up," Stiles promises. She arches an eyebrow at him. "Oh, I know." She leans down to the table and puts an arm around Laura's shoulder, eyeing the empty place on the table in front of her daughter. "What's the matter, sweetheart? Not in a cookie-decorating sort of mood?" Laura shrugs. "I'm not five, Mom." "Neither am I, but it's still fun," Cora pipes in, and Stiles high-fives her because hell yeah it is. He goes back to artfully icing his own heart-shaped cookie in purple camouflage as Cora slathers her next one in an array of pinks and greens. It's like Volcano Day introduced the start of a color war between them, and Cora is determined to win, even if her nails are purple. "You don't have to be five to have a Valentine, Laura," her mom sing-songs teasingly. The doorbell rings and Laura smiles up at her mother. "I know," she says before launching herself up and out of the chair to race her little brother to the door. "Ha!" her mom says, looking back at Stiles now. "I knew it." "Hot Valentine's date?" Stiles asks as he starts to clear the frosting bowls from the table, leaving every shade of green for Cora's unfinished stack. Mrs. Hale joins him at the sink, turning the water on and grabbing the dish soap. "Whoa, are you helping me?" Stiles asks. "What just happened here?" "Well," she says, "lead by example, right? Besides, you kept the kids entertained, so I figured it was the least I could do." Stiles enjoys these little moments with Derek's mother, having forgotten the warm hugs and soft cookies and words of wisdom moms offer. He still wishes he could be spending time with his own mom, but he knows that he can't do anything to alter his past. Can't change what's happened already. So he cherishes all the mom time he can get here, in this house, and alone in the library on Saturday mornings, pretending that his mother is reading to him and not a group of strangers. Stiles washes the dishes and hands them off to Mrs. Hale to be dried and put away. It's an easy task when split between two, like most other things. "I'm surprised Derek didn't go out for Valentine's Day. He must not want to leave you here alone with us. Probably afraid we'll corrupt you." "Or the other way around," Stiles jokes. "I'm glad he has you," she says, smiling over at Stiles. "He needs a good friend." Stiles feels the tiny strings around his heart, holding it in place as they tug tight at her words. "Him and Laura are pretty close, though, right?" Stiles doesn't want Derek to be alone when he leaves. Doesn't want to think of how this younger version of him will handle the goodbye when it comes time. If Stiles ever gets to go home. "They are," she says. "But Laura's an adult now. She'll be finishing high school in just a couple months, maybe even moving away. She's got a boyfriend. You know how young love is." "Not really," Stiles replies. "My dad always says teenagers aren't capable of love. They don't know what it is." "Oh, now, I hate to disagree with your father when he isn't here to defend his logic, but I don't think that's true at all. In fact, I think it's the opposite." Stiles drains the water in the sink and wipes down the counter, waiting for her to continue, but she doesn't elaborate. "You're a good boy, Stiles. I wasn't kidding when I said you're special." She puts her arm around Stiles' shoulders, pulling him in for a hug. "Take care of him," she whispers before walking away. Isaac was cowering in the corner, echoes of Derek's feral roar still reverberating through Stiles as he stood behind the Alpha. It wasn't the first time Isaac had lost control and nearly attacked Stiles just for being there, and it wasn't the first time Derek had stopped him. It was, however, the first time Stiles had seen Derek lay hands on Isaac. It made him sick, knowing all that Isaac had been through in the past with his father. He shouldn't have to hurt anymore, shouldn't be afraid. "Derek," Stiles said. "Stop, come on." "Did you want him to attack you, Stiles? Did you want him to bite you?" Derek was glaring down at Isaac, who was still trembling and bleeding. "No, but you could have restrained him. You didn't have to slash his face." "Sorry," Derek said, dripping sarcasm as he shifted back to human form. "I must have slept through that class on compassion at summer camp." He'd waited until Isaac was back to normal, eyes downcast as he sat in his place on the floor. Then Derek went up to his room, leaving them alone. "It isn't easy for me," said Isaac, after he'd heard Derek's door click shut. "I can't control it like he does. I don't know how." Stiles took the explanation for the apology he knew it was. "Well," he said, "we need to help you figure that out then. I really don't like the idea of being werewolf chow, not even for you." Stiles tried for a smile that was weakly returned by Isaac. His face was slowly oozing blood, the wounds still unhealed. Fucking alpha-inflicted wounds. Stiles went into the kitchen to wet a washcloth, brought it back, and helped Isaac clean up his face before heading upstairs to find Derek. He didn't even bother knocking on the bedroom door, just shouldered it open and stepped inside. "He doesn't need that from you, Derek." Stiles was angry, hands balled into fists at his sides, even though he knew they'd do him no good if it came down to an actual fight. "He needs guidance," Derek replied. "And that's the way you were taught to offer it?" "I wasn't taught to be a leader." "Well, congratulations then, you're doing a bang-up job of failing miserably." Derek didn't reply. There really wasn't much he could say to that. "He needs you. He needs your help," Stiles said. "He doesn't know how to control it like you do." "You want to know how I control it?" Derek had come stalking towards Stiles, predatory, eyes narrowed. Stiles didn't flinch away. "Anger, Stiles." His breath was hot in Stiles' face, close enough that there was no mistaking his intent. Stiles refused to be intimidated by him, though. "My whole family was brutally murdered, and there was nothing I could do but run. They were all killed before I was even old enough to know what life was supposed to be. I didn't have time to learn, Stiles." When Derek realized Stiles wasn't going to back down, he turned and walked back over to his place by the window. "Isaac doesn't have anger," Derek continued. "He has Stockholm Syndrome. You try teaching him to anchor himself to that." "I get it, all right, Derek? Nobody understands you. Nobody gets your pain." Derek didn't respond, just stared out the window, rain trailing down the glass like mock tears on the face of his reflection. It was like a vision, a glimpse of something Stiles knew he'd never see. Tears would require an emotion other than wrath, and Stiles didn't think Derek was capable of that. "You aren't the only one who's got scars," Stiles said. "Help him find something else. But fucking help him." "What's it like?" Derek asks when they're alone again, lying in the separate beds in his room. "Beacon Hills, the world. What's it all like 10 years from now?" "Not much different," Stiles replies, "because the buildings, the streets, the trees, they aren't a lot different. It's the people within it all who have changed or gone away, in one sense or another." "Guess the movies are wrong." "Yeah," Stiles says, "it's no Gotham City." "I used to pretend I was human," says Derek. "When I was a kid, I used to think the world would be so different in the future that it wouldn't matter. Everyone would be the same." "You don't want to be like everyone else, Derek. People are assholes no matter what period of time you're in." Derek huffs out a laugh before continuing. "We're taught from a very young age to keep our family's secrets safe. Never tell anyone, never let on that we're different. It makes it hard to trust people when you can't offer them all of yourself in return." Stiles knows the truth of that. Just days ago, he was living with his own pangs of guilt for not being able to offer Derek full disclosure. "It helped to hold back the shift. Just a distraction, I guess. But if I pretended I was human, if I really convinced myself it could be true, it stopped it for a little while. Never for very long." "It's kind of like being a superhero," Stiles says. "You just have to keep that part separate. Learn to live the life you've been given." "Yeah," Derek replies, voice soft in the night. "It just would have been so much easier, you know? We knew when my little brother was born. We all knew he wouldn't be like us, that he was human. Everyone's so protective of him. He scrapes his knee and it takes weeks to heal. I fall out of a tree and break my back. Mom just makes me stay still for an hour until it's healed. You'd rather not heal? Styles asks.
I'd rather not worry, replies Derek.
About them, I mean. Sam, Aunt Janet, even one of the twins. They're so fragile, so breakable. If I was normal, that wouldn't be something I was concerned about all the time.
Styles knows that isn't true. He's a human in a pack of nearly immortal supernatural beings, and he worries about his friends all the time.
It isn't much better from the sidelines, he says.
Styles gets it now, understands why Derek had reacted to Isaac the way he did that night. His Derek would never admit to caring about Styles, but that was it. It's easy to see, now that Styles knows this part of Derek. He did care about Styles. He was afraid for him, didn't want him hurt. It wasn't just out of obligation or responsibility to Isaac.
Derek curls his fingers around the edge of the mattress, looks down at Styles. And in the light of the nearly full moon filtering through the bedroom window, Styles can see that Derek's eyes are trained on his mouth.
I worry about you now, too.
Styles slips out in the early morning, not wanting to wake Derek. He takes his usual spot in the young adults area of the library, just on the other side of the wall from the children's section, and waits. He has another stack of useless books on scientific theories, and a few on magic, too. He's not finding anything useful to his situation, and his focus is so scattered he wonders why he even tries. Styles can hear his mom's laughter on the other side of the wall, talking with some of the parents who have come to bring their children to story time. It pulls him up short, and his breath catches at the sound of her, happy and alive and there. She calls for the children to gather on the rug, and Styles slips out of his chair, moves closer to the wall, and sits with his back against it. He listens again as she reads the morning away, cherishing every word spoken, every soft breath of laughter between interrupting questions from the kids. Here is my secret. It's very simple. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. I have a few contacts, Styles. Trusted friends. Advisors. Deaton moves around the clinic like it's second nature, not even bothering to watch what he's doing, just pulling bandages and bottles out of various cupboards. Not a single one of them seems to have any more answers than I do. This is new to all of us.
Oh, good. I've baffled a coven of Wiccans and necromancers. That's always reassuring news.
Going on the assumption that we're dealing with quantum strings, it all seems quite a bit more complicated. Styles can't even begin to imagine how that's possible. It's all been pretty hopeless since the first time he and Deaton had discussed it. Figuring we can't trace the string back to its other side, the only other theory is that by pushing this side of it close enough to a black hole, it would force it to loop back around itself. That sort of thing would use an amount of force this universe simply isn't capable of handling.
Okay, just so I'm clear, we're not tossing me into a black hole then, right?
Deaton sighs and shakes his head, focusing on the dog he's treating on his operating table.
So we really can't undo it?
Styles tries not to show his level of disappointment, but he's sure Deaton knows. Deaton finally pauses, looking up at Styles.
I won't stop searching, but for now, I think it's safe to say you can go ahead and make yourself comfortable here.
But be careful, Styles. Even the slightest changes could alter the future in ways you wouldn't begin to imagine. Styles nods, biting the inside of his cheek to keep his lip from trembling.
You stink!
Derek didn't even look at him when Styles walked in. Styles lifted his arm and took a sniff.
Do not! He said, affronted.
He just left lacrosse practice, but he had taken a shower in the locker room before coming over.
You do, replied Derek.
Styles glowered at him. It's not my fault you have freakish werewolf senses. Maybe you should carry some Vicks around.
Maybe you should carry Febreze.
When did you get to be so hilarious, Derek? I don't remember you having a personality at all. At that, Derek finally did look up at Styles, a wicked smile playing at the corners of his lips. Styles hated how badly he wanted to taste it. He narrowed his eyes, pushing down the sexual tension and trying to replace it with a healthy measure of sarcasm and indifference.
You all alone here in the brood shack today, wallowing in your own self-loathing? Just another Monday, Derek said with a casual shrug. Styles was really starting to love how easily Derek rolled with the punches. It was almost like he was growing up, or just finally accepting Styles. I took your advice. You stole the soul of a mime so that you'd be able to convey emotions? Not that advice, Derek said. I sent Isaac away. What, by himself? That wasn't what I advised you to do at all. God, Derek could be so dense sometimes. Relax, he replied. He's with Scott. I fail to see how that was my idea. Lead by example, right? If I can't teach Isaac a human level of compassion, maybe Scott can. It also shows him that it's okay not to know everything, not to be afraid to admit you need help. The way Derek looked at him sent a jolt of awareness through Styles. Was he asking for help? Was that his way of telling Styles he needed him? Well, come on. Styles turned and headed back toward the front door. Where are we going? Styles could tell from the distance of Derek's voice that he hadn't moved from his place on the couch. To see if the wizard can give you a heart. A sardonic laugh escaped Derek's lips and he shook his head. Pretty sure I had one of those once. It didn't work out too well for me. Despite his words, he did stand and follow Styles out the door. You gave it to the wrong person, Derek. Derek moved stealthily up beside Styles, making him jump when he spoke near Styles' ear. Maybe the wizard can give you a brain, he said before slipping into the passenger seat of Styles' Jeep. If I'm anyone in this fucktacular version of the Wizard of Oz, it's Dorothy. Scott can be the Scarecrow and Isaac is the Cowardly Lion. She's here, isn't she? Derek asks out of nowhere. Your mom. She's here in Beacon Hills now. Yeah, Styles replies. She's here. He leans against the tree at his back, kicking his heel absently against the floor of the treehouse, gazing out into the open woods. Have you seen her? Every Saturday since I've been here, Styles says. It isn't entirely true. Sometimes he only gets to hear her voice and not actually see her, but he thinks it still counts. She hasn't seen me, though. It must hurt, Derek says, looking out into the canopy of trees. But I think it's probably good, too, right? Being able to see her now, maybe appreciating her in a way you weren't capable of then? Styles nods. There's so much I want to say to her, you know? So many things I wish I could tell her. I'm sure she knows, Derek says. I'm sure she still watches over you. And Styles nods, because even if he isn't so sure himself, it still helps to hear it from someone else. If I could just hear her say, I love you, one more time, maybe it wouldn't hurt so much. Derek wraps an arm around Styles' shoulder and tucks him into his side, resting his head on top of Styles'. They stay like that, enjoying each other's company and the comfort that it brings. Styles sits up straight after a while, noticing a small wooden box under the edge of the treehouse floor. What's this? He asks, tugging at the corner of it. It's a box, genius, replies Derek. He leans over Styles and yanks the box out of its hiding place. A box of severed body parts? Derek casts him an indignant glare before pulling the latch on the box. He lifts the lid, revealing several folded up pieces of paper and a couple of books. My list, Derek explains, holding one of the papers up. All the things I want to do before I turn 18. He smiles bashfully, and Styles thinks it's probably the most adorable thing he's ever seen. Styles lifts one of the paperback books out of the box and arches an eyebrow in question. Chronicles of Narnia, Derek says. They're on the list of books. I come up here to read sometimes. He snatches it out of Styles' hand and shoves it back into its box. Hey, I'm not judging, Styles says. I've read the first two myself. Me too, Derek says, pushing the box back down between the pallet boards. Maybe someday I'll find the time to read the rest. And to finish this treehouse, Styles grins. That's the plan, Derek says. There's another long beat of silence, and then, you know me, right? You know my family? He knows he isn't supposed to ask Styles about his own future. They'd all sat at the kitchen table weeks ago, Derek, Styles, and all five of the adults in the Hale House, and discussed the ramifications of too much knowledge of one's own future. Styles considers his answer carefully, watches Derek watching him, then he nods, slowly, holding Derek's gaze. I know you, he replies, ignoring the second part of the question. Derek's face splits into a wide grin, and Stiles can't help but smile back. They fade back into silence as they sit and watch the sunset from high up in Derek's treehouse. Stiles scoots to the edge of the pallet, dangling his feet over the side and gazing down at the ground below. Despite the fact that they're almost the exact same size and build here in this life, Derek's leather jacket is big on Stiles, but he's grateful for the extra room right now. He pulls its collar up and hunches down into the warmth of it, watching as his frosty breath curls in the air between the lapels. "It's true, you know," Derek says, breaking the silence again. "What I said. You really do smell like me." "Are you surprised?" Stiles asks. "I mean, I basically live in your house. I use your soap in the shower and wear your clothes most days." "That's not it." Derek rests his arms on the wooden rail in front of them and looks over at Stiles. "Even that first day, you smelled like me, like you belonged to me." Stiles swallows around the lump in his throat. "What do you think that means?" He isn't baiting Derek to ask more questions he can't answer. He's just genuinely curious as to how Derek sees them, what he's conceived of their future friendship. Stiles doesn't miss the way Derek's gaze flicks to his mouth, the way it had been pretty frequently lately. "Maybe it means..." He licks his bottom lip, eyes distant now as if he's really considering it. But then he seems to come back to himself. "You're stuck here, forever doomed to be my friend, to sleep in that ridiculous pull-out bed and wear my clothes until the smell of me is ingrained in your DNA all the way into 2013. He chuckles, and Stiles can't help but laugh with him, grateful that Derek seems to be okay with the idea of not being rid of him. "I got another intensive lesson in physics from your veterinarian the other day." "He isn't my veterinarian," Derek says. "Right. Anyway, according to him, I may not ever get home. So I hope you can accept my smell for what it is, because it may be here to stay." Stiles feels a tightness in his chest at the admission. He meant for it to be light, joking, but the realization that it could be true hits him hard. Did he die? In his future life, did Stiles not make it through the fight with the Fae? He wonders if that's it, if death had sent him here, to relive a part of his life he's never seen before. A part that had helped to shape him, regardless of his lack of knowledge of it. "Stiles," Derek says, drawing Stiles' attention back to the present. Derek is closer when he looks up, the heat of his body radiating into Stiles' skin wherever it can reach. The way Derek is looking at him, the intensity in his gaze, the low huff of breath coming from Derek's parted lips, it makes Stiles ache to reach out and touch him. Stiles wonders if this is how it would have been between them, in real time, if they had met under different circumstances. The first time Stiles and Derek had actually laid eyes on each other was when Scott and Stiles were out in the woods looking for Scott's inhaler. Derek didn't even seem to notice Stiles then, too focused on the new werewolf in Beacon Hills, even if said new werewolf didn't know what he was himself yet. Now, though, all of Derek's attention is focused on Stiles. And Stiles feels selfish for wanting it that way, for wishing that was how it had always been. Stiles doesn't think he's missing the signal, hopes to hell he isn't stupid enough to misread this. He leans into Derek, hesitates briefly as he watches Derek's eyes flash blue, but then closes the remaining distance between them. Stiles presses his lips to Derek's, tasting the heat of his breath in the slow, tentative kiss. It isn't like any of the fantasies Stiles had formed over the years, the way he's imagined his first kiss with Derek would be. But this is a part of Derek Stiles didn't know at all before. He'd always imagined, if he ever made it this far with his Derek, it would be rough, needy, both of them taking what they want with no room to think about anything else. "This is good, though," Stiles thinks, and as Derek's hand comes up to slide around the back of Stiles' neck, warming him in more ways than one, Stiles' mind rectifies. This is really fucking good. The slow slide of Derek's tongue sends a current humming through Stiles. He's wanted this for so long, has wanted this from his Derek, the Derek who has always been too broken to let Stiles in, to let him get close. Cool air drags between them, skating across Stiles' damp bottom lip as they part. Styles trembles with the separation. Derek's eyes are closed, forehead resting against Styles, and Styles wonders if he should apologize, if he should say something to remind Derek that he's still there, that they're still them. His fingers are warm on the back of Styles' neck, stroking back and forth as his breath evens out. Styles kisses him again, can't help himself. His hand is twisted into the front of Derek's shirt, pulling him closer. They part again through a series of small kisses and shared breaths. Derek swallows before he speaks. "I'd be okay with you staying,"